This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So I'm getting acclimated here to North Jersey, Mike, and I went to this place. It's in Montclair. I don't know if you've ever been to Montclair, Jersey, but I said, let's get a slice.
I have been to Montclair.
Slice of pizza. I went to this little indie theater, Claridge Cinemas. It's great. Went and saw this movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Excellent movie. Huge hit at Sundance. So I see a pizza place. I'm like, oh, let me go check this out. I had like a baked ziti slice of pizza. Like I looked at it.
Oh,
I go,
my God.
It was incredible. Like it was carb on carb violence. Like you tell me, as a proud Italian, would you ever do that? You're mixing up your pasta and your pizza.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You want to see carb violence, come to Ocean City. Like there's people eating pizza and french fries at the same time. People actually put french fries on their pizza. Like my grandson, Dominic, I mean, he might have to go to carb rehab in about by the time he's 5 years old. I mean, every time I see him, he's eating bread. You know, it's like, I mean, it's in the genes. I guess they can't help it. But this whole North Jersey, I mean, see, you got to understand, like, gravy in Jersey, people call it sauce. In Jersey, we call it gravy. It's red. Even though it doesn't have any meat in it, it's like, how's the gravy taste? The gravy's good. You know, like, you could see Uncle Junior sitting there, gravy's good today, and he's dunking his bread in the gravy. Like, there's nothing better than that. When I was a kid coming home and your grandmother was cooking and you could just take really good bread and dunk it into the gravy, that was the best part. Ugh. But you're going to experience it all. North Jersey has everything. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the thing people don't understand about North Jersey is North Jersey is all New York. South Jersey is all Philly.
Yeah.
And it changes so much. But you celebrated Canada Day. So what is Canada Day? Explain this to me.
So the equivalent of Independence Day in America, Canada Day is Canada's independence. 1867 is when Canada originated. So think about that. 1776 America, Canada Day, 1867, a country of polite people, friendly, respectful, clean, neat. That's our contribution to world society here, Mike. That and poutine.
There you go. And that's perfect. And being polite and being kind would not be the segue. It would be, okay, not the perfect segue into Mitchell Trubisky and how we're going to handle him.
But that's where we're going to go, because MVP conversation right now, you and I have talked about this. You said you've heard people say that Trubisky somehow could be the best quarterback of the NFC North, which is insane. People are just forgetting about Aaron Rodgers. But how's this? You like betters? We'll talk a little gambling. Trubisky right now, a 75-1 shot to an MVP. At one point, 200-1. But what do you make of those odds? Good odds? Bad odds? Would you put five down on Trubisky?
I mean, here's what I don't understand. Who's betting Trubisky? Like, I could see taking $1,000, right?
Yeah.
And saying, okay, I'm going to bet Mahomes for $100. I'm going to bet Rodgers. I'm going to just, I'm spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
But, like, who's betting Trubisky? Like, what, like, for me, betting is, I think betting is, has this dirty term to it, which is completely wrong. Betting is no different than analytics. And I think that guy on Jeopardy proved it, right?
Holzhauer, James Holzhauer, who's a big analytics guy, yeah.
Right. He's not even allowed to go in casinos. I mean, it's all about being smart. And when you look at Trubisky, how is it being smart? What evidence are you looking at? Now, people say, Lombardi, you just hate Trubisky. Well, you know, stop. Enough of that. Like, I'm not a fan, all right? I'm an analyst. I'm not a fan. Like, show me why. Like, his road record last year, forget his performance on the road. Okay, his performance over 20 yards, his performance in the fourth quarter. When you look at Trubisky in the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, MVPs in the fourth quarter dominate. And you're sitting there saying, like, really, seriously? You're going to bet this guy, you know, when he's on the road, he's got, you know, he's four fumbled on the road. He's averaged 7.11 yards per attempt. Now, think about this. If he's going to be the MVP, AD, he's going to have to go on the road. He's going to have to win in Denver. He's going to have to win in Washington. Okay, I beat them up. Oakland, he's got to go to Philly. He's got to play the Rams. And then he's got Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota. That's his road record. I mean, like, tell me what you're doing. Like, reverse engineer it. Like, okay, I want to bet Trubisky. Great. But tell me why.
Is it because of the infatuation with young quarterbacks? You say, why can't Trubisky do what Mahomes did? Young quarterback, he's got a year, he's learning the system better. Bears have more weapons. Do people just get seduced by the idea? It's like the sexy young model. Hey, the young quarterback, look at that shiny convertible over there. Is that what it is, you think?
Yeah, no, what I think it really is deep down is I think we have a hard time. When I used to get on the team plane, Al Davis would call me over and say, oh, fuck, kid, do you know why we won today? Or do you know why we lost? I think people in fans and I think people in sports have a hard time figuring out why they win and why they lose. I think when you can figure out why you win and why you lose, most of the time in the NFL, people on Monday, most of the teams spend so much time studying. They spend the morning studying the game they just played, and then they get right into their next week's opponent. Where for me, like if you really spend all day Monday figuring out why you win, why you lose, then you can set your week accordingly to how you're going to go. But I think too often people don't understand why you win. The Bears did not win because Trubisky carried them. That's not why they won.
Great defense.
Great defense, opportunistic defense, you know, made enough plays on offense, you know, but the guy in the playoff game at home, now I know they missed the kick and all that, but the reality of it was he averaged 7 yards per attempt. He threw it 45 times. He didn't really make a difference in the game. Will he get better? Sure. But that's not why they won 12 games last year. He was a conduit to the wins. He wasn't the reason for the wins. And I think we really screw this up. And I think it's one of the reasons why teams draft bad. I think it's one of the reasons why people can't get better from year to year.
What would be the biggest difference maker for Trubisky to make a giant leap? Right now, he's an average quarterback, a little above average, if you could say. What would make him a true great quarterback? Is it the fourth quarter completion percentage? What is it for you?
It's his ability to be able to hit shots under pressure. He's no different than the golfer that can win the Hartford Open, but he's going to have to win a major tournament to be able to do that, right? We see this all the time. Speaking of golfers, like, is Ricky Fowler like the ultimate of all time? Seriously, like in the British Open, we're going to see pitcher Ricky. He'll shoot 68 one day and then he'll shoot 75, 75, 75. Right. Like that to me is Trubisky. Like Trubisky and Ricky Fowler are kind of similar. Like at some point you got to play. Now, Trubisky's younger. You got to play great in a pressure moment. You got to lead your team back. You got to be able to say, okay, I'm leading this team. And in that pressure is the swing's got to be able to hold up.
Right.
In Trubisky's case, his ability to be accurate has to hold up. Right now, he's an athlete playing quarterback. He's not a great quarterback who's an athlete. That's a big difference. And I think that's the challenge. And can he overcome it? I don't know. Like, I've never seen great quarterbacks overcome two things. They don't overcome toughness and they don't overcome accuracy, a lack of accuracy. If you're not tough, you can't overcome that. That's where Jared Goff's going to have to prove he can play tougher, right? I mean, Jared Goff is 60-1 odds to win it. Baker Mayfield's 25-1. You talk about jumping on the Baker. Now that's the Baker Mayfield machine now, right? But people bet him down. Like, you wonder why. You know, next time you go to Vegas for one of these fights for DAZN,
yeah,
like just look at the buildings and just say thank you, Mitchell. They're all saying thank you, Mitchell Trubisky, for people being stupid enough to bet on him being the MVP.
I will definitely pass it along to all those casino owners. How about the college football playoff? And by the way, last thought on the Bears. You and I both think they could be in trouble because you and I are both big fans of Vic Fangio, the DC, who's now the Broncos head coach. So Trubisky better step up because that defense may not be as good, right?
No, absolutely. I think he's going to have to really make the difference. And maybe that's why people think he'll be the MVP. I would go for Ben Roethlisberger as the MVP. I wrote a column for The Athletic where it basically was a dot, dot, dot column, like where you fill in the blanks. Okay, so, you know, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be able to do dot, dot, dot. I think Big Ben's going to have a great year. I think his back's to the wall. I would lay $100 on Ben Roethlisberger to win the MVP. I mean, I would never bet on anybody who's never really won big games. Like, would you bet $100 on Matthew Stafford? I love him to death, but I mean, and I hope everything happens for his family. But in a pressure game, I mean, are you going to bet on that? Like, seriously, yeah. At what point, like, guys that make shots in the final part of the game, like Phillip Rivers is 14-1. I think that's a fairly good bet, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's obviously proven himself before, hasn't lost much as far as accuracy. Chargers were a great team a year ago. Sure.
I mean, Wentz is 10-1. Landry Luck's 8-1. I mean, Mahomes obviously is 4-1 odds. So you can't bet that. But if you're going to take a long shot, to me, the long shot is I take Ben Roethlisberger.
I like it. Definitely a veteran who's proved in the past, and as you said, feels like he's got something to prove the way Antonio Brown was knocking him. College football playoff odds here. No surprise, Alabama and Clemson both 9-4 odds to win once again. What gets interesting is when you look at, Mike, some of the other teams, you go, okay, Georgia's at 6-1, Michigan at 12-1, Ohio State 14-1, Oklahoma 16-1, LSU 20-1. So Michigan, Harbaugh, for all the criticism he's gotten, he's actually got the fourth best odds in the country to win a national championship with Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know how Clemson is in the favorite with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's the separator. Now, look, I understand Alabama has a great quarterback too, but to me, Trevor Lawrence is unbelievable. LSU at 20-1. My man, Ed Orgeron. I mean, did you see they hired John Robinson as a consultant?
Mm-hmm.
And they promoted it.
Orgeron, great guy, but he sounds like he's Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade. Like, that voice is just unbelievable. I just couldn't take anything seriously, he's telling me.
Like John Robinson hasn't been involved with the game in 10 years.
Rams? Like, when was the last job he was really prominent?
I think it was UNLV.
Oh, yeah,
it was
right. UNLV.
Yeah, he was at you're UNLV. Right. And I mean, is he going to come in and teach the USC sweep? You know, the best used to be when Bill Walsh used to, when we would play the Rams, when the Rams were good, and Robinson was the coach.
Yeah.
You know, and Walsh would stand in front of the team and just say, Eric is coming. Eric is coming. And he would like plead with the team, like, all we have to do is stop Eric Dickerson from running the football.
Yeah.
We moved Ronnie Lott. Think about this. We moved Ronnie Lott from corner to safety just so we could beat up on Eric Dickerson in one game. Wow. We moved him over because we put Dwight Hicks at corner.
Yeah.
Think about the divergent thinking of Bill Walsh. Like, okay, the only way to hurt me is this way. It's like, it's the whole thing about what people don't understand about the reason why some coaches are so successful and some aren't is A, they figure out why they win and why they lose. Mm. And B, they also figure out what the non-obvious is. Right. And the non-obvious was, okay, I can't let Dickerson beat me. And if Dwight Hicks is my free safety, he might run him over. So I'll put my best tackler at safety. Like, how smart is that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet nobody really does it all the time. But going back, I mean, my man Ed Orgeron just shocks me. Like, where do you come up with this? And then you promote it? Like, what's John going to do in the passing game? I mean, do you realize there's been three passing games since John's retired?
Well, I bet saying, what do you think about LSU? You go, they never have a quarterback. I mean, since the beginning of time, that team, great defense. They can run the football. They never have a quarterback. All of a sudden, John Robinson is going to come in there, and all of a sudden, they're going to develop a quarterback. It's just Death Valley. It never happens. It never rains at Tiger Stadium, and they never have a good quarterback.
That's right. And how about this? Nebraska at 30-1. Now, there's a guy, Scott Frost. You got to give Scott Frost some love here. I mean, Scott Frost is, I mean, to take that program where it was 2 years ago, and now it's the 30-1 to go, you know, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, the Sooners are only 16-1. You know, nobody knows what they really have. Mm-hmm. Like, at this time last year, nobody knew who Kyler Murray was going to be a great player. They knew his talent. They didn't know he was going to be a great player.
Right.
Like, to me, that's kind of an interesting thing. Michigan, I think Georgia's a sleeping giant because I think Georgia's so good. They get so many great players that I think they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah,
they really are.
Kirby Smart, really good head coach. Nick Saban, disciple. So obviously you learn from the master, you figure things out. Here's an interesting topic for us to dissect to. XFL versus NFL. As we take a look at this, Mike, the difference with the rule changes they're going to have here. By the way, you've said you think the XFL is going to be successful. They've learned from the mistakes in the past. They've got deep pockets, something different. I'm going to read you a few of these ideas. You tell me which one you like. Multiple forward passes. The XFL solution is to redefine the forward pass. Offensive players will be allowed to throw multiple forward passes as long as they don't travel beyond the line of scrimmage. Once a pass travels beyond the line of scrimmage, all other forward passes will be illegal. You a fan?
You know, that it really helped. That's more of helps the official, right? So it's like, as long as it's behind the line, it doesn't have to be backwards, as long as it's behind the line. Now, John Harbaugh probably would hate that rule, because I could still remember in a playoff game when we did the unbalanced line and we did the pay, he was going berserk. I think it's really, that clears up the official, don't have to worry whether it was a forward or backward pass.
Right.
You know, okay. Now I think the other thing it does in this case, though, AD, is I think it puts all those bubble passes become their run option at the start and their run option and their RPOs at the start and their RPOs again when they get the ball. So you have a double RPO. You follow me? So
yeah, I do.
The guy catches the ball, now he can throw it. So to me, the multiple forward pass, I wrote this in Gridiron Genius. I really think there's going to be an offense in football where there's two Deshaun Watsons on the field. I really think there's going to be, and this allows it to happen even more, because now if you have Deshaun Watson playing receiver and Deshaun Watson playing quarterback, right? You throw the ball to the second Deshaun Watson, he can either run it or he has a run pass option out there. I mean, this really challenges the defensive coaches. And what it really forces you to do to play a lot of press coverage, because you got to go attack the passer right away. You can't let him stand back there and disperse the defense. I think it's kind of interesting.
That is interesting, because you're right. You think so much about specialization in football, but this time you're looking at versatility. How about a three-point conversion? After scoring a touchdown, teams will have three options. A conversion on a scrimmage play from the 2-yard line will be worth 1 point, a conversion from the 5-yard line worth 2 points, and a conversion from the 10-yard line worth 3 points. I like this one. I think this is kind of cool.
I like it, too. I do. I think it's the ABA rule coming in. Remember, wasn't the ABA the first team that had the three-point line, right?
It is. You're right. Yeah, back in the 70s.
I mean, the Virginia Squires come right back in. Dr. J, I kind of like it. I mean, it allows you to – now, I like any time it forces the coaches to have to think about how many possessions are left in a game. Like, I think where fans really screw up, I think TV people don't educate us enough, is at the fourth quarter, time is on the clock, right? There's 5 minutes on the clock. In your head, there's how many plays on the clock, right? How many plays are in this game left, right? And when you
I'm thinking of Andy Reid and clock management, but go ahead.
Well, exactly. I mean, go back. People say, you know, they didn't get the ball in overtime. That's why they lost. No, they had the ball first and 10 at the Patriots 30 with 3 minutes to go in the game, and he threw two incomplete passes, and he gave Tom Brady 2:40 to go to score to beat him. You know, like, really, seriously? You know, like, it was because you didn't get the ball in overtime? I mean, seriously. Anyway, I like it where it forces you to think about chess. I mean, one of the great Belichick stories people don't really talk much about, we talk about the Malcolm Butler play where, you know, we never ran that defense all year. It's the first time we ran goal line, big goal line, and Butler came, it was three corners. And so that time, when we were getting ready to play the Texans, right, I'm sorry, when we were getting ready to play the Falcons in Houston, Belichick had 2 5-minute periods at the end of Thursday and Friday for 2-point plays. In case we got ahead by 19 and needed to make a 21, he was thinking ahead in terms of being able to understand that we need to get this. We might need to make it a 3-point play. And this kind of stuff, these 3-point conversions, brings more of that into the preparation. Again, you got to figure out what you're going to do. I like it. I like both things so far.
Yeah. How about this one then? The comeback period. In the XFL, the clock will stop after every play during the final 2 minutes of each half. The goal, of course, is to not only increase the number of games that are decided in the final minutes, but also hold the audience's attention longer, no matter the actual probability of a comeback. So the comeback period, the clock stopping after every play during the final 2 minutes. You like it?
Well, I think what it does is eliminates, you know, now all of a sudden when Andy Reid blows his two challenges in the first quarter and doesn't have any timeouts left for the 2-minute drive, he's fine now. He doesn't really, you know, it takes away anything about having I don't like this one as much, because I think the coach's job, the head coach's job, is to put his team in position to be able to manage that final period. And I think when you look at the great teams in the league, if you look at great teams, they have different kinds of 2-minute drills. They have different kind. So you have a slow 2-minute, you have a fast 2-minute, you have a regular tempo 4-minute. It depends on, like, when you got your team out there, like, say you're Andy Reid and you have the ball first and 10 at the Patriots 30, you should run your regular offense at that point, because your clock is as much as your opponent as the thing. You shouldn't be in a rush to score. And it's the same thing on 2-minute drives. Like, you get the ball, this takes away the clock being your opponent, because now the clock is going to stop. I think it makes it too easy for the coaches.
Support for GM Shuffle comes from Wix.com. With Wix, you can create your very own professional website. Choose a template you love and customize it by adding your own text, images, and videos. With hundreds of intuitive design features, you can tell your story exactly the way you want. Want even more for your website? You can easily start a blog, launch an online store, or create an event.
Share everything in a click on social media and drive even more traffic to your site with SEO tools to get found on Google. Wix has all the tools you need to create the exact website you want. You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Isn't that great?
Yeah, over 150 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. You can get started right away by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/the GM Shuffle to get 10% off. That's Wix.com/the GM Shuffle to get 10% off.
All right, as somebody who's trying to get into golf, I need to start fresh. Where do I get good golf clubs? Well, you got to start with your driver, right? So I needed to find a place that would help get me set up with something that's customizable to my game that is ever so developing. That's where our friends at PXG really step up, because nobody makes golf clubs the way they do. PXG clubs have absolutely incredible customizable technology that'll have you playing your best. I mean, shout out to my buddy Chris out here in Henderson, Nevada, who's hooking me up with a driver. I'm supposed to pick it up next week. It's going to be great as I go out there onto the range and test this thing out. You can find a PXG location for your own personal fitting, to where you go through the simulation process. They figure out what you need. Do you need more club speed? Do you need more grip? Whatever you need, they get it done for you. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving club will play, so you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and to get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology and you get incredible ball speed that pushes distance to the absolute limits. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's lost its meaning, but trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/gmshuffle and use code GMshuffle at checkout. That's pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle for free shipping on all equipment, pxg.com/gmshuffle, code GMshuffle.
Next topic of conversation, Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is going to meet with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in New York. He'll discuss the May incident in Vegas. For a reminder for everybody, Zeke was briefly detained by police. A player can be subject to penalty under personal conduct policy without arrest. Your best guess, Mike, if you talk to anybody about the situation, do you think Zeke gets punished?
If you're going to meet the commissioner, there's something going on, obviously. Jerry went berserk when he got suspended the last time. I think, to me, if there's any ruling on Elliott that comes before Tyreek Hill, like if Elliott gets suspended and Tyreek Hill doesn't, I don't understand that at all. I don't get that one. So to me, I don't have a read. Like, I think this is the hardest part. If you're an executive in the league or a head coach, from this time until the 15th of July, you're worried like crazy. You know, we just saw.
It's true.
Because you got guy, you know, everybody's going to be on a lake. Everybody's going to be at the beach or the ocean or the lake somewhere. You know, you got boating accidents. You're just worried that that phone call is going to come in the middle of the night. Like, hey, I was in a boating accident, or I got in a fight in a bar. I mean, you see Kareem Hunt, his name's in the paper again. I love Dorsey. Dorsey says, you know, we did our homework on Kareem Hunt. You were in Kansas City, right? When he lied to you. And now you're telling everybody you did a homework? Like, come on. And people let him get away with it. It's amazing how people get away with crap, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, to me, you're worried about this. Just keep, like, to me, like, I never, Mike Shanahan did this years ago. He would bring the team back right around the 4th of July for their official mini camp, because he wanted to see where his team was 2 weeks before training camp opened up. I think that's probably a much better way to do it. We let this month go by, 5 weeks, and God only knows where they go. God only knows. Like, you know, Michael Pierce can gain probably 50 pounds in an hour. You know, you just hope they come back in some kind of shape.
One other one here for you involving off the field, because you have to talk to the Raiders every time. Amari Cooper says the Raiders weren't a good fit for me. So this is the exact quote he was saying. He said, whatever the circumstances may be, there are certain reasons why one place might not work for a guy, another place will. I think the change of scenery was really necessary. I really honestly don't think if I would have stayed with the Raiders last season that I would have been able to flourish and reach some heights that I was able to reach as a Cowboy. It was definitely necessary. Is this just, is he throwing shade at the Raiders, or is he praising the Cowboys, or is he just being honest and saying sometimes a change of scenery is helpful?
I got to think Cooper's just being brutally honest. I think he's just one of those guys that, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe that just wasn't the circ. Maybe it's Derek Carr. It's not all Gruden. I don't know. But there's sometimes that it just doesn't fit for a player. And how you utilize the player skill, you know, is really important. But he surprised me. I got to be the first to tell you, when he went down to Dallas and started to play better, yeah, it really surprised me. He clearly was. I mean, I was like, oh, shoot, this is the much better player than he was for the Raiders. And that's the always things that work. Worries you when you trade a guy and you don't really know what you're trading. You know, it's one thing to trade a guy, get rid of a guy, next thing he doesn't really pan out for the other team. Like when we traded Trent Richardson, like I can still remember my son was on the 49ers and Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator, and Vic Fangio went in and told my son, your dad's an idiot for trading Trent Richardson, you yeah. know, and like I never really felt like that was ever going to come back and haunt me. Like I never thought that, whereas some of these you just worry about.
Yeah, and you can tell with Mark Cooper, the Raiders, it's different. Speaking of stuff that'll haunt you, here's the Chris Sims completing his list of top 40 quarterbacks. So we went through it last time a little bit, but there's, listen, Eli Manning is 34th. He's ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick, RG3, Drew Locke, Dwayne Haskins, Colt McCoy, Tyrod Taylor. If I'm any of those guys, Mike, I go, here's my bulletin board material. Chris Sims thinks Eli Manning's better than me at 34.
I mean, I'm the president of the Deshaun Watson fan club, but there's no way he's better than Tom Brady. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way Cam Newton, Matt Ryan. Like, I think Roethlisberger is so inconsistent. I mean, Andrew Luck is a really nice – Russell Wilson, 3. Did anybody watch Seattle's passing game last year? They could run the ball, but Russell Wilson couldn't throw it from the pocket. You know, look, Aaron, I think what Christopher does with this list is he just – it's all arm strength for Christopher. It's all about arm strength. And I think, to me – Brady at 9, look, I think there's some throws that Brady misses, don't get me wrong, but he can't be 9. Like, there's no way I'm taking Andrew Luck over Brady. There's just no way.
What about Carson Wentz?
I think Carson Wentz, when he plays and he's healthy like he did the year they went to the Super Bowl, to me, he's a top 5 player. Okay. So what you're telling me is here's what Christopher's saying, is there's only 5 blue chippers in the league, right? Mm-hmm. And those are blue chip guys. And Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, Luck, and Watson are blue chip. Meanwhile, Brady, who's won 74 games the last 5 years as the quarterback, okay, he's not a blue chip player.
Tough one to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically, you know, to me, and I get the balls it takes to put Brady 9, but it doesn't really, it's one thing to have, it's like, you know, sometimes I can't tell my courage from my desperation. This looks a little more desperate than it does courageous.
This is perfect timing, speaking of balls, because when we talked about Durant's injury, you said, here's the takeaway for me, not what happens in the series, not about the Warriors, who's got the balls to give him the max contract? The Warriors offered the max, Durant turned it down, and everyone goes, oh my God, he picked the Nets or the Knicks. And what's it come down to? James Dolan did not want to give him the max. He said, I'm not going to pay 4 years, $160 million for a guy who's going to miss a year, and he's going to be 32 years old, coming off an Achilles injury, which history shows these guys never do recover. So I got to be honest with you, Mike. I hate to be the guy praising the Knicks, and maybe they screwed it up. I don't know. I'm going to ask you this, but I looked at it and I go, man, the Nets just committed $300 million to one guy. Kyrie Irving, Mike, is a guy who's inconsistent shooter who thinks the world is flat, and the other guy is 32 coming off a ruptured Achilles. What was your take on Durant, Kyrie, all this NBA stuff?
And then DeAndre Jordan hasn't played well in 2 years.
Right.
And they gave him $40 million. They gave him $40 million. And of course, they're getting A's all over. To me, my reaction of NBA free agency is all the A's are probably D's.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like the people just get too caught up in this. Here's the thing that blows me away about the NBA is the media gets all over the NFL teams for the preseason games, for bootlegging them. And that's fucking right. There's no way we should charge top dollar to watch, you know, 5 rookie quarterbacks play. But, okay, I give $160 million. I'm going to give $200 million to Kevin Durant, and he's only going to play, even when he's healthy, he's only going to play 60 games. Like, at what point did the NBA say, wait a minute, I as a fan, if I go to a Sixer game, they play 41 home games, right? Mm-hmm. There's probably Embiid's going to miss 10 of them. So now, do they have the Embiid package where you get refunded when he doesn't play?
It's like flex scheduling, yeah.
Is it just potluck that he's not going to? Because, you know, the big thing in the NBA is rest, right? We got to rest the guys.
Well, yeah,
like the commissioner's, he's pushing for a 50 because you know why? Nobody's written this column. The reason he's pushing for it is because he's waiting for the backlash of all of the fans saying, like, this is bullshit. I paid top dollar for a ticket and, you know, Klay Thompson's not playing tonight and this guy's not playing. Like, I didn't, it would be like me going to see Network and Bryan Cranston not perform.
And the reason isn't that Bryan Cranston has the flu, it's just that he needed rest.
Yeah, but if you read Bryan Cranston's commentary, he's like, look, I owe it to the people in the seats. Yes. They paid $200 a ticket. I got to, whether I'm dying or not, I got to, if my lungs barfed up, I got to come out. It's the same thing. Like, how is it, how are they get, like, I'm all for them getting all this money. They're entertainers and they deserve it. But yep. At some point, it would be like Celine Dion saying, okay, I'm going to do a residency in Caesar's Palace, but I'm going to miss 10 games a week. Okay. How do you do that?
It's honestly, Cal Ripken must be losing his mind. 2,632 baseball games for the Orioles. It's like, don't take a day off. Show up. Just like you said, even there's a factory worker in like Allentown. He just shows up every day. He does his job. Lunch pail guy. He's like, what does Kawhi Leonard need the rest for? Here's the other thing. How about your Sixers? Jimmy Butler's gone. What are you feeling right now? I saw your tweet the other day. You go, I honestly have no idea what the Sixers are doing. It scares me.
I didn't know. I had no idea. I think what they clearly made a decision is they can only sign three players. They got Embiid under contract. They made a decision to go with Tobias Harris, which I like Tobias Harris as a player. I'm not in love with them. I thought they needed Jimmy Butler's toughness. I really did. I think they made the best of a bad situation. I like the Al Horford signing for a couple reasons. I think they need somebody. I think Barkley put it best. All these moves the Sixers made come down to two things. Embiid getting in shape and Simmons improving. If those two things happen, no matter who they surround them with, they're going to be a really good team. Because right. Those two guys are really talented players. They're not great players. They're talented players that have the potential to be unlimited if they play. And if Embiid ever got in shape, they could be dynamic. And I think what they're counting on is Al Horford for 2 years to figure out, okay, he's going to help this kid become a professional, become more responsible. And they got to count that Simmons comes back. I mean, look, I give them credit. I think the way you got to work these things is you got to see where the shifting's going, and you can't always just fall in love with one way to do it. It's if you just say, okay, we can only, a decision has to go A or B, you're screwed up. There's a thing in business management called false duality. It's when you think there's only A or B to a solution. And if you're a good general manager or not, you think of A, B, C, D, E. And I think I give the Sixers credit for trying to find the D and the E. Now, whether it works out, I don't know. They're strapped. They better hope like hell that Embiid's in shape, and they better hope that Simmons improves.
Speaking of A, B, C's, and D's, I was going to say, Michael Jordan has never been an A as a front office guy, as an owner. And now Kemba Walker, who's his best player, now goes to the Boston Celtics. So Michael
and
Jordan,
they get nothing for him.
They got nothing for the guy. He's their best player. He's the one guy you would have known. Who's in Charlotte? Oh, they got Kemba Walker still? Yeah, and he's gone now. Brutal.
That's what I don't get about the NBA is like they just like I understand this whole sign and trade crap. I get the player. Like I would say this. There's no way I would have as an executive given Jimmy Butler 5 years. There's no way. But you had to know you weren't giving Jimmy Butler 5 years before you traded for him, right?
Right.
Now, I'm not one of those people that think the Sixers overpaid for Butler because I don't. I think giving up Covington and Saric was really like they got Josh Richardson back. I mean, he's a nice player, but they traded to me. They paid a lot for Tobias Harris, Landry Shamet. The guy that's doing a hell of a job are the Clippers. And if they get Kawhi, which I don't know if they will or not, but if they get him, it's everybody in the league that I'm friends with in the NBA tell me Kawhi's going to the Lakers. But even if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, what team do they have? Now, there's another team. You get leaker season tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's going to miss 20.
Yep. Anthony Davis, sorry, he's going to miss a few games.
And Kawhi's on a 50-game schedule, right? 60-game, the most,
tops,
right?
Tops, yeah. I'm taking 20 games off. And right, they have nobody else. You got three guys in that team. We have nobody else on the team.
How does this work?
Well, here's the other part of it, too. Here's why you should love the NFL, why you should love baseball, why you should love hockey, and why, quite frankly, I think you'd be down on the NBA. There's only three teams. There's three teams, all the good players. So why the hell would I want to watch this? I honestly think Adam Silver would have a real issue, Mike, on a day-to-day basis. You and I watch football, anything can happen. You really feel that. Any team can win. In basketball, of course it's not going to happen.
Of course it's not. I mean, I think the sleeper team, if I had money, I would bet Utah. I think Utah's done a nice job job in free agency. I think Utah, Mike Conley, I think they've added some nice pieces to their team. I think they're a sleeper team. But I'm like with you. I don't understand it all the time, what they're trying to accomplish. Right. I do think that sometimes these guys in the NBA, they're so preoccupied with the matchups that they don't always add, not the matchups. They're like trading cards.
Yeah.
Like, who has mental toughness? Right. Like, where are we getting our toughness from?
Yeah. And you're right. And you're focusing on star power. I'm telling you right now, I'll be astonished if Durant's the same player he was right now.
I will too.
Right? History has shown those guys are never the same guys.
I've never seen guys come back from Achilles. And, you know, now look, one of the reasons Durant signed with Brooklyn is apparently Brooklyn has this unbelievable medical science lab going on in their building. Mm-hmm. Like the players, like I think Golden State, like I think this Iguodala injury has affected their medical. I think that you know, whether Boogie Cousins doesn't get a contract, maybe that. I think there's some issues there, but I think the medical in at the Nets was one of the reasons why.
Yeah. Warriors get D'Angelo Russell now too, so nice move from them as Klay Thompson will be out till March.
All right, I think that's a great move for them. I mean, look, the one thing I got to give the guy credit for the Bob Myers of the Warriors is at least he got an asset back in Russell. And how about your boy Wojo? Was Wojo on fire?
Unbelievable. Like literally, he's just tweeting like a firestorm and he's got every single major story. And I think kind of like how you're doing like with The Athletic, I think he was like dictating the stories to ESPN.com. Like, he was like on three different platforms. He was on SportsCenter. Yeah. He's writing articles and he's tweeting.
I mean, and really the poor guy should have been on the show. I mean, Rachel Nichols and they had all those people on there. And you're just wondering like, again, at some point, we got to figure out a way to cover it. Because everybody was going to Twitter. Nobody was watching their show.
No, you're right.
They were actually on. It was literally like watching four people look at Twitter and reacting to it. You know?
Looking at their phones. Oh, Woj just tweeted this. Another Woj bomb. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of bomb, July 4th coming up. I hope you have a wonderful time, you and your family, barbecue, etc. We want to talk about Joey Chestnut. I've met this guy a couple times. He's unbelievable, Mike. He's actually in good shape. And I said, how could this possibly be? You're the competitive hot dog eating champion. You've eaten 57 hot dogs in a row at Coney Island. How is he in good shape? But he was telling me, he goes, honestly, I'm a prolific runner. I said, I hope so. Otherwise, you'd be 300 pounds. So he runs all the time, distance, etc. And I said, did you fast going into this? He's like, no, I eat more to get prepared for it. The bottom line is this. I said, how bad is that moment when you go to the bathroom? Like, I just want to know, 57 hot dogs. He goes, oh, he goes like that, because that whole week it's just purging. Like, it's just disgusting.
Does he throw up? Does he force himself to throw up?
He does. He says, you know, and I said, God, man, that's like an eating disorder. That's brutal. And he's like, honestly, at times you got to get it out of your system. It's just too much food. So in that moment, yeah, he goes, just to get it out, 57 hot dogs.
You know, and I'm wondering, like, how do you sit there on a couch one day and say, you know, I'm going to challenge Joey Chestnut? Like, how do you do, like, I'm a fat guy. I like hot dogs. Like, no. How do you do that? Like, how do you do that?
Like, if you and I right now said, okay, competitive hot dog eating champion, best case, how many hot dogs you eating? 6, 8, 10? Like, best amount of 10?
And with the bread? I mean, that'd be impossible. I mean, and Al Davis loved hot dogs more than anybody. Just put mustard down the middle. That's all. No, I don't want fucking ketchup, mustard. He would have to have mustard down the middle of it. He loved hot dogs. The man lived into his 80s. God bless him. But yeah. He loved hot dogs. But like, I don't understand how they do it. Like, and how do you get? And there was a woman that Michelle Lesko. She was like runner up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy when there's like a female is involved as well. By the way, Chestnut's odds to win are -900. A no is a +500. He's an 11-time champion, the heavy favorite to claim his 12th mustard belt. The record, by the way, was 74 hot dogs last year, 10 more than the runner-up. You're right. Carmen Cincotti, who will not be participating. The Italian stallion.
He gave up. He's like, hey, look, if there ain't no sauce, if there's no fennel in these dogs, I'm not fucking eating them. You know, like there's no way. Like, the thing I love about Vegas is they could set odds on this shit. Like, this is incredible. Like have they been watching, like Mickey Sadu eat hot dogs on the side to check out how he's doing? Like, how do you know?
His endurance.
Did Joey tell you, how did he get ready for it? Like, did Joey tell you how he got ready for it?
He told me, he goes, I would start to eat lots of different things, but bigger portions. I said, what do you mean? Like, just pizza, cake? He goes, no, whatever it was, I would start practicing. So he goes, just like running a marathon, you got to run 8 miles, 10 miles, et cetera. He goes, I would start practicing 10 hot dogs. 20 hot dogs. I said, oh my God. He goes, but you can't do that too much. Because if you start eating 30 hot dogs a day for 2 weeks before you eat 57, you lose your mind. But I was eating more stuff, but working out like a fiend. So this guy's like working out for 4 hours a day and just eating a ton. I said, God, your parents must be so proud of you.
Does he go get his cholesterol checked immediately after this?
Absolutely. I said, your health must be. He goes, honestly, the rest of the year, I'm salads. I go, come on. He goes, no, the rest of the year, I'm super healthy. That's why I can do this. I said, I don't know.
Unbelievable. And you know what the tragedy is? I'm going to watch.
But the gross one, when they go start puking, it's just like, oh my God.
Like they're shoving them all in. And how do you comment on them? Like, oh, look, he's got it on the left side of his mouth. Like, how do you go?
Well, that's the thing. You're right. They asked me 2 years ago, hey, would you want to do this? And to your point, Mike, I said, I don't know how to call that. They go, come on, have fun, entertain. I go, no, but I really don't know. Like, look at his form. Look at his diaphragm expanding. Like, that's the true gift is the analyst. The play-by-play guy, like, you're just calling the action. All right, it's in the mouth. Okay, is larynx, et cetera. Here we go. But to be an analyst for that, I mean, that's just one day Joey Chestnut's going to be the analyst. That's where it's going to get to be fun.
That's it's going to be the best. Yeah. When he retires, you know, he's going to give up the belt. That's so good. Unbelievable. Well, I hope you have a great fourth and have a great barbecue back up in North Jersey, enjoying it. There's nothing like a Jersey summertime. You've got it now in July. It's perfect. And the weather's been incredible. Ocean City. Speaking of Ocean City, now, if you go up on the boardwalk, they have this huge pizza. And if you can eat the whole thing, you get a free pizza. Like, and I love pizza, bread, gravy, you know. Sure. And there's no chance I could do that. So every time I'm looking like, could Joey Chestnut do this? It's remarkable.
Yeah. Honestly, I just imagine if one of your kids came to you and goes, honestly, Dad, I found my calling. And you go, what is it going to be? You want to be a doctor? You want to be a lawyer? You want to be an engineer? Scientist? Actor? Athlete? No. Competitive hot dog eating champion.
Does he make enough money to live off of it for a year?
Yeah, I asked him, give me the money. He goes, I go, come on, give it to you. He goes, I make six figures. I said, you make six figures off of one event? He goes, no, I enter other ones as well. But I said, you make a six-figure living by eating. He said, yeah. And he goes, to be honest with you, it's actually a little bit, it's pretty good. He goes, once you get endorsements and stuff like that, I said, who's signing you to a deal? Nike signing him to a deal?
Nathan's dogs. Look, I only eat Sabrettes.
It's great, man. All right, we'll see you next time. GM Shuffle, subscribe, rate, review. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.